the Lord wanted me to share something that happened the other day from a choir of the fire, which many of you heard the testimonies. And then it went on from there that these kids were ministering one to another and weeping and repenting. And this went on for hours at this prayer meeting. And I felt like the Lord said, I want to honor moms first, because a lot of the miracles I'm seeing today are because of moms. I have toiled with Melissa and Debbie for hours and hours, weeping for our children. And Jesus, when he was suffering and the women were weeping, he said, don't weep for me, weep for your children. God has raised up the women of Jerusalem. So I want to honor that, not only the people who have born children. I look at Brenda Carroll back there, who is helping me mother my children. And many of you through your prayers. So I just wanted to honor that. And the other scripture the Lord gave me for moms was from the lady from Canaan, where she said, God, my daughter is terribly demon-possessed. And then remember, her daughter was healed, and Jesus called her a woman of great faith. When our hearts ache for our children, we cry out, God, our children, not just the kids that we've born, because we know that God's raising up mothers. We live in a generation who are motherless and fatherless. I work with them in Howard County. God's raising you moms up. And a lot of the great revivals were started because a few women were burdened and courageous enough to pray. So I just wanted to segue to what happened. So after a choir of the fire, I'm going to ask these guys who are giving the first round of testimonies. David, Timmy, can you guys come up? You're not first, so don't get worried. David Cavanaugh, can you guys get them? They might be in the back. David and Timmy, Delaney, any of the Delaney kids come up who are going to share. And Tim Russell, where are you? Is Tim Russell here? Thank you, Tim. And also Jasmine, come on up. And then anybody else after that, we're starting there. So basically, I'm going to have Tim start, and then we'll like segue. But what we did was, after some of the testimonies of Acquire the Fire, there was a breakthrough with some of the kids, and Tim so courageously said, let's do this at Double Chapel. Well, what happens with Double Chapel is our chapels at Lamb of God started out 40 minutes, and whenever I would lead, they'd give me 80. And now that they've given me 80, it kind of goes for a couple hours. So, right, Donna? So from 8:30 to 11:30, these kids are weeping, worshiping, laughing. They didn't want to stop. And I'm like, God, this is awesome, right? So here's Tim to share what happened.
All right, so I'm in 8th grade now, and a few years ago in 6th grade, I went through a time of when I was just like verbally like bullied, and I had this like self-hatred in myself, like this like worthlessness in myself. So I tried to fill that with porn, and at Acquire the Fire last week, I got to pray with Miss Pam and John Mercier and Justin Lorman, and they through that prayer, they set me free from the shame and from the addiction and just everything. And so now I'm free to tell people. And so at Double Chapel on Thursday, I shared this testimony with the school, or the upper school. And so when that happened, people then started confessing to each other when they had bullied each other, when they had like said anything mean to each other. We all just started like asking for forgiveness and everything. And there's so much unity, and people were crying, and then everyone was just like asking for forgiveness, and everyone was forgiving each other, and there was so much love and stuff. And then the spirit of divine laughter fell on me, and I just started laughing. I started laughing. It was probably like an hour or so. I was laughing.
I gotta tell him something. And, so afterwards, I walked into Mr. Pink of his science class, and he couldn't teach because Tim was really laughing loud. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. So anyway.
I just kept laughing. And then a few other people started to get it. And I went around just praying for people. In between laughs, I started praying for people. And people started getting it, and there's so much unity and love in that room, and it was great. Yeah.
And so just tell them what you feel like. Woo! And what I want to say is what happened to him is what God wants to do with all of us. He wants to heal all of us. God told me that this generation is a generation who is free from shame. They're not ashamed. And God's saying, I see a lot of marriages today that have broken up because people didn't come out with the areas of shame that they had in their childhood. So God is saying, I'm going to bring a spirit of unity so that the marriages will make the non-Christians jealous and they'll run to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah. Well, and also one more thing. Fred years ago said, the prodigals will come home when the Father's house is filled with his love. This is the time that the prodigals are going to come running home. Are we excited about that? Yes. Okay, go ahead. What? Timmy, go ahead. What?
Okay. Okay. Tim, people were coming. They were watching Tim for a little bit, like 15 minutes, just laughing uncontrollably. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes on is you laugh. It's a laugh you've never heard before because it's completely unhindered laugh. It's completely, you're filled with joy to the utmost. It's overflowing. And so no one's ever heard you laugh like that before, because until the Spirit falls on you, you can't possibly let go of all the troubles of this world and completely be filled with joy. So Tim's laughing like no one's ever heard him laugh before. And there's first everyone's watching him, and then kids start coming up and hugging him. And as kids hug him, they receive the laughter. And they're just shaking together in this hug, this laugh hug. And it happened to kids over and over. And there was like a line of kids waiting to hug Tim and to get laughing. And it was incredible.
Laughter's the best medicine.
Laughter's the best medicine. That's what John says. And so all these kids come out. Some kids would laugh and then cry. Some kids would laugh and then they go pray for other kids. And Tim stepped out in so much vulnerability and boldness that he just broke the atmosphere of shame and of hiddenness and of feeling like if I share this part of my heart, people won't love me. People won't have grace for my process. And so Tim stepped out and he broke that. And all these kids came running to receive that love and that joy that they saw all over Tim. So I just want to say I'm so proud of you and encouraged that someone so young could step out like that and bring unity. So, yeah.
Can you go before David? David first? Or David?
Well, when I went to a choir the fire this year, I really felt the presence of God, but all the years before this year, I'd never really ever felt him, and I didn't really care to, because I don't know. Yeah, and this year, when I went there, everybody was all, like, experiencing him, and I was like, I should try it, and then I went up to the front when they were asking to forgive God for their sins, and I went up, and I did, and I put my hand up, and then I closed my eyes, and then all around me I saw angels and God, and it was really cool.
But I just have to say that's my son, and he's probably been scared watching me all these years, you know, like, oh, right, who wouldn't be? Melissa said, thank you. So, I know. All right. So, anyway, but I wanted to say that what really makes me happy is for years I was like, God, I want to go to Bethel because they're getting open heavens. And more than anything, as a mom, I just want my kids to know Jesus. Oh, yeah. And him saying that, he's telling me on the ride to school. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, because kids, it's just normal to see angels. And so, what God is doing is all of our kids, we're all going to get an open heaven. It's our inheritance. Anyway, here's, Tim, you ready to say something? Yay, Tim.
Well, I kind of had what David had, like at a choir of the fire, the first 2 years I went and didn't really feel the Lord or anything. But this year I got prayed over and like just lifted my hands up and just felt the presence of the Lord there. And like, I actually felt like I was worshiping him. And so like we went up to the front and forgave our sins and just praise the Lord and lift up your hands. And
was it amazing?
Yeah, it was the best thing ever.
Aww. All right, Jasmine. It's Jasmine.
Well, when I went to the choir of the fire, I didn't really, like, I wasn't feeling it. I was just like, yeah, let's go. And when we got there, I was just feeling the Lord, and like everyone, like I didn't feel weird putting my hands up and stuff. And this one time, the guy said, close your eyes and put your hands up. And I did, and I felt God, and I felt him tell me that I was beautiful and wonderfully made.
Tell them what that did energy from, how you were before that. They would love it.
Before, I struggled with depression and self-hatred and insecurity and stuff. And I didn't really want to eat anything because I was afraid of getting fat. And after that, I wasn't afraid of getting fat. Woo! And God told me that I didn't need anyone else's opinion because that didn't matter. Only his matter.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So we're all going to go out to eat with Jasmine because I love to eat. We're going out to eat. I love Jasmine. It's my favorite thing to do. One of them.
Was it me? Me? Oh. Okay. I can make something up. I can share what happened. Yeah. So Miss Pam texted me the night before chapel at like 10 o'clock. And she said, hey, do you want to come tomorrow at 8:40 in the morning? And that was very early for me. And at first I was like, I really don't want to go. And then I wasn't doing anything the next day. I was just like, that is so early. And I remember the last time I went that it was like really difficult to share because last time I'd been there, I think I was 18 or 19. And she was having me share, and it was all these kids. And so I was kind of remembering that. And then she was texting me, she's like, we've got this person and this person and this person and this person, she's naming all these people. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, she's got everyone. So I may not have to do that much. So I was like, so that wasn't true, though. So I was like, okay, I'll be there. And she said, good. And the night before, she texted me 8:40, but then when we were texting before I went to bed, she said, be there half an hour early at like 7:10, instead of saying 8:10. So I was like, all right, 7:10. So I got up earlier, got there at 7:10. There was no one in the parking lot. She said it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like there's no one here. And so then I went through the text messages and I saw 8:40. So I was like, I'm in here an hour and 40 minutes early, almost 2 hours early. So I was like, I'll just take a nap. So I just went to sleep. And then Mr. Buck woke me up. And it was because he didn't know who I was because he was getting his, and so he knocks on the window and he's like, hey, who are you? And oh my gosh. I was like, I got out of the car. I was like, Mr. Buck, it's me. And he was like, Lorman, what are you doing here? And I was like, and he was like, it's 7:30. And I was like, I know. I explained the story and it was really embarrassing. Oh, yeah, Mr. Buck's the headmaster of the school and
he's real dramatic. Like
very dramatic. not quite like Pam, but different in a different way. So anyway, that was a strange start to the morning, you know. And then I started praying. I got in there, and there was all these people: John, and there was Ian and his fiance, and there was two other alumni kids who just graduated, and there was Cameron was there, and Corey Dubioski was there, and there was just this list of people who had been to Lamb of God and who were now coming back as alumni to pour into the kids, and it was really encouraging to see that there were people who I knew that were still on fire for God, because I've been kind of searching for that those friends of mine, or at least people my age that are still on fire for God, and so it was very encouraging. First of all, and then it was so many different things happened. It would take such a long time to talk about it. The highlights, obviously the vulnerability and the courage that the kids had to come out and share in front of their peers what they've been going through, and to see the shame get broken off them was powerful. And that's what glory to glory is when I get to do something, or when Ms. Pam does something that is a forerunner mentality, then it goes to the younger kids. They can get it done sooner, so they don't have to go through a life of pain, a life of shame. And that's what it means to, and that's what the Bible says is glory to glory. That's the direction of the kingdom, is the glory to glory. And so that was really encouraging to see that happening, to see kids at a younger age getting free of things that they wouldn't have to live through for that we had to live through, that I, even though I haven't lived much. I'm like 45. I've lived through all this stuff. So, and then there was a time we were worshiping, you know, corporately. Then the kids started, they moved all the chairs, and the kids were dancing around the room. And they were dancing and shouting, and John was sounding like Michael Jackson up on the mic. It was incredible. And falsetto the whole time. And it was amazing. And actually, I got up there on the mic with John, and I've actually never sung in front of people before. And it was actually strange. I don't know how I got up there or even got a mic in my hand. But I was singing, and me and John were next to each other singing. And we did that for like half an hour. We were just singing in the spirit. And that was actually, you know, God ambushes you. That's actually a lot of freedom for me, for myself, because I've always wanted to be a worshiper, and not just in my own private time, but also lead people into an encounter. And so... no. She's very good at delegating. That's true. So that was, I mean, God ambushed me. Jehovah Sneaky. Because I went thinking I was going to be ministering, and then I got ministered to, not just by the Holy Spirit, but by the kids. And I was, my heart was touched and impacted by the vulnerability and the courage and the love that when someone went up, this wasn't the only kids that shared. There were tons of kids that came up and just confessed stuff and repented to people. And then you'd see, as soon as they would give the mic away, all these kids would run to them and just love on them and hug them. And it was the room was thick with the love of God and the presence of God. I mean, it's powerful.
That was one of the things. There was one little girl who comes from a very broken home, and when she came up, she was shaking, and she said, you know, I've been mean, and I don't know why. And I figured it was all self-image. And as soon as she said it, she starts crying, and she says, I love you guys. The whole room gave her a big group hug, and then they started spontaneously singing, set a fire down in my soul, spontaneously as they're hugging. Yeah. I mean, is there anything better than that? So the other day, Bruce, can I share what the Lord was saying? Bruce woke up in the middle of the night, and the Lord was saying, new vision, new vision. And then the Lord said to Bruce, this is a vision I'm giving you all of vulnerability and love. And when we were at Bethel getting our marriage healed, that was what they said, that this generation, the new wineskin is vulnerability and love. They're not ashamed. That those things that people hid because they were afraid, like Justin said, people wouldn't like them, so we cover it with religion. And that's just, and then it just doesn't look good. It's not good. And then you don't want to be around it because you feel so, you know, unliberated. So I'm going to ask Rob to come up and share what his experience was and Donna. And they didn't know I was calling them, but they're excited about that.
They're excited.
Yeah.
Real quick, no, I'm not going to make a joke about you, no. I'll let you guys prepare your thoughts. I know what it's like. I'll share something real quick that I thought I was getting during worship for mothers. Because I knew we were going to be sharing about the youth and about the vulnerability and the breakthrough. And I feel like there's a lot of mothers or even just women in general here that have had promises made to them by God or felt like there's a promise made to them by God. Whether it's to see something happen with their children or to see children in their lives that they get to minister to, and to have someone that they can pass their inheritance on to. And I feel like there's a lot of promises. And I was reminded of Joseph and how he had promises given to him, and he had to wait years and go through a lot of pain and torture and rejection and betrayal before he saw his dreams come true. And just to encourage you that when God makes a promise, he doesn't change, but sometimes we do. And so just to remind you to come back to that promise that God made to you, and to realize that he never changes, and that when he makes you a promise, he keeps up his end, and it's up to you to walk in the obedience of what he told you he was going to bring forth in your life. So just to encourage you that he doesn't forget, and that he's always with you, and that he's going to see that thing come forth. So be reawakened in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm reminded of, behold, see, I'm doing a new thing. And it's hard to describe the significance of what happened at our double chapel the other day. I've been teaching middle school for 16 years, and by far, this Thursday was the most significant Holy Spirit experience that we have had as a school. And I'm just so looking forward to seeing the impact that it has on these students' lives. Not just these students, but the whole the whole school, really, because what happens in the upper grades trickles down to the lower grades. And, you know, you will know them by their fruit. And I have full confidence that we are going to see magnificent fruit birthed from these children.
And Rick, do you want to share the dodgeball thing or anything? Rick, let's call Rick up here real quick. He's after. Rick, you can think about it while Rob shares. I'm not telling you. You'll make me share it on a mic. I go, no, I won't. And I go, yes, you will. I've seen you do it to everybody. So anyway, praise him.
Thing is, even if you don't tell her anything, she still gives you a mic. So step up here for a second. So I have two testimonies. The first one, so picture this. I'm the science teacher at Lamb of God School, and chapel, double chapel is supposed to be over at, what, 10 o'clock. And my class was at 11 o'clock. So I'm waiting in my classroom at 11 o'clock, and in walks Tim. And Tim is laughing and free and hugging everybody, and everybody's looking at him, and he, you know, just the whole class. And I'm like, this is interesting. And Tim comes up and gives me a great big hug and prays that I receive the joy of the Spirit. And he is a sweaty mop of nothingness, I tell you. I didn't know he'd been laughing for an hour at that time. And so, you know, all the other kids, there's 21 kids in Tim's class, and, you know, and they're all like, this is amazing. This is different. I've never seen this before. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I do here today? And I actually, the Lord always blesses a teacher. You know, he's a covering, you know. So I did not have a big lesson planned for that day. I don't know if it's because I know Pam and I know what happens, or it was the Holy Spirit just guiding me. So I said, okay. I had some worksheets, so I handed out some worksheets, and I took Tim, and I said, Tim, come with me for a second. And I took Tim out in the hallway. I didn't lock him out. I took him out in the hallway. And I just want to share sort of the reaction of the rest of the class, because they did not understand what was going on. And every kid had to get a drink of water about 5 times during class. And as they went out, they'd go out, and I was just sort of watching Tim. And the thing is it wasn't just laughter. It was praising God. It was honoring God. And Tim, at one point, was down on the floor praising God and laughing, and he was before the throne room of Christ. And it's not something you can explain to people. And it's like people, they would go out and they would come back in, and then they report to everybody else in the classroom what Tim was doing at that moment. And you had comments like, he's in a Jesus coma. He's not going to remember anything.
He's
Adam and, you know, and Josh and all them. And they said, you know, hey, let's pretend when he comes in that it's Wednesday and he's forgotten the Mr. Pinkovic, can we change? And I said, no, we're not going to do that. So then Tim came in. He prayed with Justin. Justin sat with him for a couple minutes, and he prayed. He came in, and he gave his testimony to the kids afterwards about, I forget exactly what you said, but how you
felt.
How you felt free and joy and just before the throne room of God. And that, you know, that blessing that Tim had was released to all the rest of the kids. And I'll guarantee you that some kids still don't understand it. Like David said, you go to a choir of the fire the first time and you don't understand it. You go the second time and, oh, this is sort of neat. And then you get it. Yeah. And God moves in your heart. And that's the work of God, glory to glory, faith to faith. And I just, again, thank you, Tim, for that. It was awesome. Can I share one other testimony? I still have the mic, Pam. I just wanted to give glory to God for another thing, and that is last Sunday we had the kids here and everyone was praying. And about two months ago, I did something to my knee, and I swear I tore a tendon or a ligament or something. And Cameron prayed for me last Sunday, and it's like totally healed. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to confess that I don't believe in that kind of stuff all the time, you know? I'm a science teacher. Tendons just don't automatically grow back and reattach themselves. But it did, because that's God. Amen?
Okay, so my testimony is significant, I guess, in that I've been doing youth activities for, I don't know, a couple of years now. And one of the events that all of us do together is a dodgeball night that meets every other Monday. And it's been going on for about a year. And it started with seven kids. David was one of the originals. And my hope always was that there would be a sense of community among the kids. It was just started with seven boys, and I just sort of wanted to pour into them like a vulnerability, just to be able to share, you know, your sins and what's happening. Not necessarily the good stuff, but sometimes the real gift is when someone shares their weakness. And to me, that's always my heart, 'cause I have a lot of weakness. And God showed me that that becomes strength, but it only becomes strength when you're vulnerable. And one of the things that happened, which I've been hopeful for, was Jonathan came, and during dodgeball, I walked outside and I noticed him praying over one of the boys who's been coming for over a year. And he's very troubled. And just the look that was on your face, tremendous. I know the boy received the gift. That's just amazing to me that kind of stuff happened.
I wasn't at the Lamb of God meeting. Wish I was. Yeah. Actually, this is what I want to share. But interestingly, before Fred and I merged our two congregations, the church that I pastored, we had a school, and we started in 1979, and we helped the Lamb of God school start in 1980. So what goes around comes around. It's pretty cool. Yeah. What I wanted to speak to just quickly here, I felt quicken my heart because it relates to what we're hearing this morning, is the two biggest areas that we struggle with, all of us, no matter how old or how young you are, the two biggest areas are identity and value. Amen. Identity and value. Understanding that we're sons and daughters of the King, our identity, and that we are valued in His eyes. Those are the things that we struggle with. And sometimes wounds from our past can inhibit that understanding and that receiving. Even as these young ones shared, those wounds, as they dealt with those wounds, then that opened the door for God to minister to them healing in those areas and for them to understand better their identity and their value. And I had a surprise event last night. My wife and I were at, it was a very difficult time for me. My aunt died in January. She's my only aunt. And We had a gathering at her home in Potomac, Maryland, which I'd been to that home since 1967. My father died the summer of 67 when I was not quite 16 yet. And that first Christmas, my aunt and uncle brought my mom and my two brothers and me to their home for Christmas to celebrate with them. And that was, to this day, I'm so grateful for their love and kindness. So my uncle died 2 years ago, and my aunt just passed away. So my, you know, it was a gathering of about 60 people. And it wasn't a, my wife, my aunt, unfortunately, did not share our faith. And so it wasn't, there wasn't even a service or anything like that that you might expect. It was just a time to honor her, remember her. And my cousin did an excellent job of that. But the surprise came here. One of my cousins, his wife, Lisa, is an extraordinarily devout Catholic. And I say that with the highest honor and regard. She actually teaches in her church. When people are coming into the Catholic Church, she actually teaches the class for them to understand the Catholic faith. So she's an extraordinarily devout woman. And her name is Lisa. So Lisa and I are talking, and we share a lot of things in common, obviously. And Lisa said, "Oh, the book Unbroken. You saw the, you know, the movie's coming. How many read the book Unbroken? It's, if you haven't read it, it'll do a number on you. It is unbelievably powerful. Fred actually introduced it to me, and your brother introduced it to you, right? Yeah, it is. Well, she's saying, did you know the movie's coming out? And I said, no. So then she says, well, you know, have you read the book Unbound? And I'm thinking, Unbound, Unbroken. I'm thinking, by Neil Lozano. And I went, Neil Lozano? She goes, yeah. She goes, Neil Lozano. Her priest, her new priest at her parish, was trained in Rome in the Vatican at the seminary there. Neil Lozano was there doing a workshop. Wow. He got impacted by the workshop, yes. And he gave her the book. He says, Lisa, I think you need to read this. Now, Lisa's in her 50s, and she's been serving God through her Catholic faith for all of her life, practically. And a wonderful woman, adopted two daughters from China, and one of whom's handicapped, and just an incredible mom. And she's sitting down with me. She says, I want to talk to you about this. Do you believe in this stuff? And she began to share wounds that she'd had from her past and how this book was speaking to her about that and about her need to get free from those things. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, glory to God. Yeah. You know, in the midst of this evening that I had no idea that anything even remotely spiritual would spring up, we're having this dynamic conversation. Neil Lozano, for the benefit of those who don't know, he's actually been here and spoken in our midst before, and he has an incredible worldwide ministry helping people to get free from those wounds. Great book, Unbound. So I just feel like if there are any of us here this morning that need to be free, that want to be free, we've got some young people who have given testimony to that, yes? Yeah, and I don't think any of us is too old or too young. In fact, one of my regrets, like I say, my aunt never made a profession of faith, and I had some really special times with her over the last 2 years as she was in an assisted living home. We met for lunch every month, and my aunt died at 87 years old. She was still carrying wounds from her childhood. My aunt's mother, my dad's mother as well, died when my aunt was 6 months old. And her father, my grandfather, didn't feel like he could raise her as a single parent. And so she was raised by an aunt and an uncle and felt rejection from her dad. She felt rejection because it always seemed that my father was the favorite one. And even as my grandfather eventually remarried when my aunt was about 10 years old, 9 or 10, the new wife, whom I knew as my grandmother, loved my father, and my aunt was kind of the ugly duckling, the one who could never measure up. She, to try to overcome that, became a phenomenal student, graduated with honors from the University of Louisville, did a master's at Ohio State, etc., etc. Very bright woman. But she's sharing these things with me at 87 years old. I could still hear the pain from her childhood. And my one regret is that I wanted to lead her to a place of healing and deliverance. And her death came surprisingly. I saw her in December, fully expected to meet with her again in January. The next time I saw her, she's in the hospital. And a day after I saw her, she passed. So we never were able to get to that point of healing. So don't wait. You know, if there's something in your life that God's speaking to you about, somewhere, some area that you need to be free from, don't wait. You know, the Lord is here now. He's ready to heal us. Time is not a problem to him. I mean, in other words, it doesn't make any difference how long you've faced this or how short of a time. He wants to free you now, today. He wants us all to be free. So let's just, yeah. Yeah, why don't we, well, you know something, yeah, let the kids come, but also I felt something in my heart all morning. You spoke earlier to it, Pam. There are women here today who are mothers, and biologically, but there are women here today who are mothers by virtue of their care for others. They carry that spirit, the spirit of mothering. And at the risk of leaving some people out, I won't name everybody, but I think of Lorraine back here, who's done a lot with young people, who has the heart of a mother, who has ministered to many, many young people. And there are many other women in this room who would fit that same description. So I feel some of you may feel that you're the ones that need ministry, and that's fine. But if you're someone who is a mother or a great-grandmother like our matriarch here, Marguerite, wow. What a legacy. You know, I think the mothers may be the ones to be praying. And yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So you think that'd be good? Are you okay with that, Fred? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The ones that carry a mother's heart. You may physically be a mother, you may not. But if you have that heart and feel that God has anointed you to pray over some people today, I want to invite you just to come up here right now. Come on up. Come on up. We want to allow God to use you this morning. And he will. Don't be nervous about it. He'll use you. Sure.
Amanda, I think God uses you. Come on up, Amanda. That's a spiritual
sure.
mom.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I have some of those children that went to those wonderful events this year, and I just really want to encourage you, no matter how old you are, when God creates us, there's a divine imprint of his love in and through and upon us. And we each have special gifts, but the gift we all have is the capacity to receive his love and to share it. And so when I hear something like Tim give his testimony, the enemy of his soul was attacking him in a point where he had been harmed because of someone else's words that were not blessing to him, that were coming against the destiny that God had prepared. And so then as any normal human being, he was going toward a counterfeit affection. Yeah. And so any of us who's had a disappointment, it doesn't have to be a terrible wounding, will lean or be tempted towards something that is not Jesus Christ, that is not the love of Abba Daddy, that is not the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And just being aware of that, as each one of these children shared, you're standing up for the destiny that God has called you to. And the reason why you were leaning or bent into those types of things and thinking is because God has a really special plan for you. And I did just want to say, being a mom, and even though other mothers are going to pray, the father heart of God, the father really does name and bless and call forth each child. Now, the mother heart of God, in a very different way, is the home of the heart of God, because we're all made in his image. Amen. And so when there are times in our lives when our mothers either passed away or were not available, maybe because of drinking, maybe because they had to work too much, maybe because they just didn't have that loving, nurturing connection with their own mom. So there's this kind of spirit of like it's like an orphan spirit that comes because they haven't had that solid, full-fledged love of the mother heart of God. So I was just thinking, even before we prayed, maybe I could just say a mother's blessing over each one of you. And for those of you, you know, children and or any age, if for whatever reason your mom was unavailable to meet your needs at critical stages in your life, the Lord wants to love on you. And really the only thing that blocks the love of the Lord in that way would be our capacity to understand. And so I just encourage you, God speaks to each person in a very different way. But I also would like to just ask forgiveness on behalf of any of the moms, on behalf of God's blessing for you today, because it doesn't have to be your mom that created an offense or just wasn't available, but that God has that blessing and that love and that nurture to give each one of you. And so as I stand in the gap, I just would like to speak that blessing over you. So Father God, full mother heart of God, Lord, you are so amazing. These children, these young men and women of God, so brave and so bold, and it is vulnerability. Lord, we just set aside any judgments that we have, and we just come before you to receive from you the truth about who each one of us are in Christ. And so, Lord, for each man and each woman, each child, these are your beloved sons and daughters. And on this Mother's Day, we honor you, Lord. For each mother, for each father, for each man, woman, boy, girl, Lord, we stand and we declare that their heart's home is found in you, that they are beloved, that they are wanted, that they are desired, that they are unique. And so I bless each one of them with the ability to receive your love and to share it as never before. And I bless them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Yeshua. And I speak shalom over the homes, over the hearts, over the communities represented here.
Yes.
And I'm grateful, Lord. I'm a mother who's grateful for the power of your love to transform myself, my children, each one of us here. We just look forward to what you have.
Amen. So if you'd like prayer, just come on up now, and we're going to have some background music going here. We're going to take a few minutes to do this now.
Receive what you think you're worth. You can only receive what you think you are worth. And as I listened to some of these young people's testimonies, what I heard was that there was a revelation that they are worth something. You know, Jesus died for us not because we are worthless, but because we are worth it. But some of us live our lives as if we're not worth it, as if we're not worthy of blessing, we're not worthy of good things happening in our lives. And I believe the Lord, one of the things the Lord wants to do in some of our lives this morning is to impart revelation to us that we are worth it, that He has come and done everything for us because you're worth it. And also what I heard this morning was it begins with intimacy, and intimacy releases identity, and identity releases destiny, and destiny will release you into ministry. So allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning and to tell you in your heart that you're worth it. You're worth it. Jesus died for you because you're worth it. And let revelation come to release intimacy, because that's where it starts, of your identity, of your destiny, and of God's plan to use you in ministry.
We're just going to continue to worship, touch the Lord, and I'm believing for more open heavens.